This is The Guardian.
I'm Grace Dent, and this is Comfort Eating from The Guardian. A podcast where we pay homage to the lesser celebrated foods in life. Because even as a restaurant critic, I believe the food that matters most is often that snack you cobble together when you're curled up on the sofa. Each week, I ask my guest to lift the lid on what comfort foods have seen them through their lives. Because you can tell a lot about a person from what they eat behind closed doors. Hello, friends. Now, for those of you with good ears for acoustics, you will hear that we are not in my living room today. We are deep in the bowels of Guardian HQ in London. Full honesty to you, my loyal listeners. One, the builders are indoor in my bathroom. And two, my guest today, quite genuinely, cannot step foot in my house or he could end up in hospital. No, this is not about my cooking or my personal hygiene. It's my cats, of which I do have three. Now, one tiny little inhalation of moggy hair for him, well, it could be disastrous. He is the darling of British comedy, Kyle Smith Bino. Actor, comedian, rapper. What an absolute belter of a guest. A man so worth me leaving the house for. Let me be honest. Getting dressed to go to the office is not my natural state of being. Working from home suits me a lot better, especially dress-wise. What are you meant to wear when even the simplest schedule involves two totally different things happening? I've got an important face-to-face meeting with one of Britain's hottest actors. And then I've got to wrestle with the London public transport system where the appropriate outfit is actually a boiler suit and a gas mask. My top tip for those of you doing office days is get an enormous bag with heels, flats, trainers, jewellery, pop socks, waterproofs, jumper, and just be prepared to change between characters in multiple doorways, often beside the chef at the local restaurant smoking a fag. Believe me, only an extra size tote bag will do. And if you value your vertebrae, you might as well make it a rucksack. Kyle Smith Bino leapt to fame as Mike in the hit series Ghosts. But this was not Kyle's first standout role. Since teaming up with the Demetriou siblings, he's become a regular face in the comedy scene, including as the exasperated sales agent in Statlet's Flats. Growing up in East London, he used YouTube to hone his comedy and musical chops with one particular fast food establishment as a source of his inspiration. Tell you what, he's a very busy man, so I'm itching to hear what he's snacking on whenever he gets a moment.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Kyle Smith Bino, welcome to Comfort Eating.
Thank you for having me.
I want to set one thing straight right from the start.
Right.
This really genuinely impresses me.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
It's true.
Legend yes, has it that back in 2022, you invented one of the decade's most recognizable abbreviations, platyjubes.
Correct.
I think that that is so impressive.
What I do enjoy is when people message me and ask if a new abbreviation is appropriate or not. And I get to do thumbs up or thumbs down like the Emperor in Gladiators.
Take me to that moment where you come up with platyjubes, and do you at that moment know you are a solid gold legend?
This is a thing, right? Me and my friends growing up had always abbreviated everything. So this, to me, is just like the way that, yeah. It's the way that we've always been talking.
How did it go big?
On Twitter, I was just like...
So did you say it on Twitter?
I tweeted it a few times, and then people were like, what?
I don't want to labour this point, but I have got an abbreviation challenge for you.
Oh, okay.
It's quick fire. Right. It's around food, very British foods.
Yes.
Can you make us an abbreviation for Sunday dinner?
Route one is Sunny Dins.
Tuna mayo sandwich.
Tuna mayo.
And of course, sticky toffee pudding. You see, I'm just going to make it longer, but I like sticky toffee pud.
that is longer. That's the same, actually.
Is that just the same amount of syllables? I haven't quite got this, have I?
STPs.
STP. Each week, my guest brings me a snack that lights up their lives. It banishes the gloom. It's underneath this tin foil here. I don't know what it is. Ooh. Can you unveil your snack? This is what you assemble from the depths of your fridge.
Do you know what it is?
I don't know. I absolutely don't know. Really? What it is. This is why I get dead excited every single week. I'm not acting.
You've got no allergies?
No allergies whatsoever. None.
Good.
None. Is this a bun?
Yeah. This is a hot cross bun.
Mm-hmm.
With butter and cheese, slices of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot this. This is very nice.
It's very, very nice. I love the hot cross bun. I love the fruit and the cinnamon. What kind of cheese do you normally go for?
Cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When do you eat this?
In the morning, when I've got to leave the house and realize that I haven't had anything.
Yeah.
And I just got to do something quickly. And that will sort me out.
You have to have butter.
Yeah.
No Marge. No. Utterly, notterly, butterly.
Oh, maybe, but I don't know what that is. I don't actually know the difference between that and butter.
We see you're the ideal audience. That's who they were thinking of when they were making it. People like you who are like, oh, it's just the same.
Do you think people can taste the difference? Because I definitely can't.
You grew up in Forest Gate in East London with your mum. You were an only child.
Mm-hmm.
What was life like at home?
Quite boring.
Why?
I had no one to play with.
Did you feel it early on that you were an only child? And
yeah, I always wanted a sibling, but it was never happening. Because my mum had me quite late. My mum had me at 37, which was late then.
Yeah, I mean, definitely they used to call that kind of your geriatric mum.
Yeah. I mean, this was 89, she had me.
But you were looking around and seeing other people that had brothers and sisters, and you thought that if there was someone else in your house, it would be.
Yeah, and also I wasn't really that close to my cousins growing up. There were, like, kids on my road and stuff, but, like, my mum was very strict. So I wasn't allowed to play out as late as them, and, like, she didn't really want me to go to other people's houses, and she felt like it might be like an inconvenience to them.
Your mum came to the UK from Barbados when she was 9 with one of her brothers. As well as looking after you as a kid, she was taking care of her own younger brothers too, your uncles. Why was that?
My grandparents had already come here.
Yeah.
So my grandparents left her in Barbados when she was like 6. And then my mum and her younger brother came here. The one uncle that she came here with, and then the two that my nan and granddad had that were born here.
Okay.
And my nan and granddad would work and my mum would sort of go to school but also raise the kids.
That's hard.
Yeah. And these are all things that I've learned as I've got older and also through therapy. But learning that that's why my mum was the way that she was in terms of being strict and in terms of like not allowing me to do certain things. And the reason that I wasn't so close to my cousins was because my uncles really rebelled against my mum's authority. Because in a way that like, you're not our mum. You can't tell us what to do.
She's so young.
Yeah. So she already raised three boys before she had a boy of her own. And they were naughty boys.
Yeah.
And they were always finding themselves in trouble doing stupid stuff. Like they caught a fox and brought it home once.
Yeah, God.
You know, like, boys doing dumb stuff. So, like, I always looked up to them, but my mum was very, like, I could go and spend the day at their house and stuff like that. My mum was sort of like, with who, when, what time are you coming back? What are you going to be doing?
Do you thank her for it now?
I do, actually. A little bit.
Yeah.
But also, I do feel like I missed out on a lot.
Was your dad around much?
My dad was around in and out.
Yeah.
When I got to maybe like 17, 18, I felt like my dad wasn't about as much as he should have been. But then after he died in 2018, and I was looking back at like pictures with him and all of those things, I noticed that he was at everything.
Yeah.
Like all of my birthdays, all of my school plays, any like shows that I was doing, all of those things, he was always there. And because he wasn't like there in the house, because he never lived with us, it just felt at the time like, oh, my dad's not around. And it was another reason to be a moody teenager, I guess. But
no, I mean, so many people say to me that when they look back, their parents weren't really at anything.
Mm.
And to look back at those photos and go, oh, God, he was actually, he did go to that school play.
Yeah.
And sit there. He did watch me play descant recorder.
Yeah.
Where was he when he wasn't with you?
He played cricket.
Okay.
So he was always doing like cricket tours. And like, when I say he played cricket, he would park his car if he saw a cricket match going on and get out and ask them if they needed any extra people.
I love it. And did they take him up on it?
Sometimes, yeah. Yeah. And our house backs onto a park. So if he saw anyone playing in the park, he'd just go around.
We haven't talked yet about the person in your family that you've said was the greatest love of your life, your nan.
Oh, my nan. Yeah.
Tell me about her.
My nan was just the best. Growing up, I didn't understand what my mum and my nan's relationship was. Because my mum did everything for my nan, but never really spoke to her.
Yes, I know that type of mother-daughter. Yeah. Like there was a duty there.
Yes.
There was a duty to do things, but not a closeness.
No, definitely not. And I couldn't understand it. And I was always like, but my nan's so great. And I don't know it. It might have been an abandonment thing. She might have felt like she was left in Barbados to look after her younger brother.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst her mum and dad went to a country that she'd only heard of, but didn't know how far it was, really, or how to get there or whatever.
Do you think she was cross at them?
Possibly.
Yeah. Did she look after you? Did she cook for you?
Yeah. Because I used to go there because my mum would work late. My mum worked for London Ambulance Service.
Okay.
She would work late, and especially when it was coming up to like the end of the month, like payday and stuff, she'd be working really late. So I would always go to my nan's after school.
What's she cooking?
Oh, everything. On a normal day, it would be like some sort of meat, so it might be spare ribs, it might be a lamb shank, it might be...
She's from Barbados. Is she cooking in this type of style? Is she getting hold of all the ingredients and the spices?
Hot sauce always on the side.
Yeah.
And more traditional Bajan foods like cuckoo and flying fish and souse.
Where does your nan go shopping to get all this stuff?
To the market, Queen's Market on Green Street.
Queen's Market.
Yeah. And I remember sometimes I would have to, like, if I was at my nan's on a weekend, I'd go to the market with her. And
is that fun? Or is it a little bit frightening?
It's 90% her stopping and chatting to her friends. And me, like, trying to pull the trolley to get her to, like, start moving.
Yeah.
But she'd always take me to Percy Ingle.
For people who don't know what Percy Ingle is, it's like... like Greg's, but an old-fashioned East End version of Greg's. What did you have there?
Just a glazed donut.
Glazed donut.
Yeah.
Let's go into your teenage years. You were at a school called St. Bonaventure's in Forest Gate. What kind of a schoolboy were you?
I'm well behaved, but I talk too much.
Yeah.
I fancy myself as an entertainer, class clown.
Well, every day you walk in and these people are merely your audience.
Yeah. Right, what kind of thing do you want today? Some slapstick? It was a chance for me to perform, really.
There's no girls there.
No girls there.
I'm always interested in single-sex education. In the brief moments where you caught a glimpse of the opposite sex, did you go to extreme lengths to catch their attention?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the girls' school was around the corner.
Oh, what was it called?
St. Angela's.
Was that just like a mythical, magical place full of women?
Yeah. And then at the end of the day, you would like brush your hair, put your jacket on properly, change out of your school shoes into your trainers. Like, it was a very strict Catholic school.
Yeah.
Where I went to school in that area, and I'm sure like quite a lot of areas in London, as a boy of a boys' school, you had to be one of three things. You either had to be a good footballer, a good fighter, or a rapper or MC. But you didn't know that as a
fighter. You see, this is where we go wrong as women. We're like, oh, look at him. He's punched a traffic warden. That, that is a man that I need to have a baby with. And the other one is, what, rapper?
Yeah.
So what were you?
I was creative, but more like I'd written like poems and stuff when I was in primary school and like that sort of stuff. And I thought, I could rap. And then I started and I did. And I did it for ages. And we used to have clashes in school at lunchtime until it got banned by the school.
But you've got one place that you all go and hang out.
Mm.
Chicken and Chip Shop. And it's on Upton Lane.
Yeah, chicken and chips, kebab, pizza. And that was... so.
I love those places. So you only really get them in London where they do everything and they... it's not like a just like a KFC ripoff. It just does everything.
Yeah.
And they're always called things like chickpeas. everything.
Fantastic fried chicken.
Yeah.
And there was one on Upton Lane, which was between the girls' school and the boys' school.
Yeah.
I'm saving my money from lunch so that I can get chicken and chips after school, or pizza, or kebab, or all three for like £1. And we're doing that, meeting up, talking to girls, rapping.
Because you start filming this stuff, you start putting these skits up online. You're 15 years old when one goes viral. Mm. And I've watched it quite a few times. It's you and your mates. You're rapping in Southern Fried Chicken in Canning Town. Mm-hmm. Tell me all about the discounted meal for kids, which is called the Junior Special.
So the Junior Special was a meal, a kid's meal at Southern Fried Chicken. And where we used to go to the studio was at my friend's house. He called it the studio. It was a microphone in his cupboard. And we would go to his house. And the chicken and chip shop that was next to his house was called Southern Fried Chicken. And they had a meal called the Junior Special, which was the cheapest meal on the menu.
Yeah.
And you get one piece chicken and chips and a drink.
Yeah.
And
what's the drink?
I'd go for the Miranda strawberry flavor.
Is Miranda like a Rubicon?
Yes. That's what I would get. And that's what we'd all get, because it's 150. It's just like, yeah, cool. And they had three different mayonnaises. They had the one mayonnaise that was on the counter in the squeezy bottle.
Yeah, just like your average bog standard.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They had the 20p mayonnaise, which came in like a little tub. I don't think it was garlic mayo, actually. It was something different. It was a step up.
20p for mayo is a lot, though.
And then there was a 50p mayonnaise.
No.
Now, this one was in a slightly bigger tub. It was in the fridge. It wasn't behind the counter. And I don't know what was in that, but it was out of this world.
It was delicious.
I still go there now because of that. We did an interview on the Rouge Tube.
Mm.
Do you remember Rouge Tube?
Yeah.
And they asked us about like the mayonnaise prices or whatever. And one of us said, it's homemade from France.
Because France felt like such a glamorous place that it could only be from France.
I don't understand where that came from. It's homemade from France. But also, we were serious MCs. Yes. Like, that was like a one-off because it was an inside joke because we used to go to the studio and we used to eat this food. So we were like, oh, we'll make a track about that and then get back to business. And then that was the one that took off. I mean, unfortunately, we didn't quite hit those heights again. And Jax, who did the chorus, still to this day gets paid from Junior Spesh. And I get nothing.
After you left school, you get hooked into comedy and acting. You train at the East 15 Drama School. You're honing your improv skills. I'm terrified of improv. Even just watching it makes me come out in a cold sweat. When my friends go, I'm just going to go and do my improv, I'm like, oh, holy God. Just like watching through my hands. When improv goes wrong, surely it goes really, really, really wrong.
I don't think so.
You ever walked off to the sound of your own feet?
I don't think so. I mean, I find the idea of stand-up terrifying. I would much rather do, like, a one-man improvised play to a terrorist organization
yeah.
than, like, stand-up in a comedy at the comedy store or something.
Do you like it when the audience shout out, when they give you ideas?
Yeah.
Do you get food things a lot when they shout out?
Hardly ever, apart from a spatula. Everyone says spatula because they think it's like a really interesting thing to say.
Why spatula?
People think, oh my gosh, it's so random. I'll say spatula. And someone says it every time. It's like dildo.
Yes, does someone say that?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you are so shaming these audiences from now on, right? You go to an improv thing and you go, so what will I have in my hand? Someone will always say, spatula. Yeah.
100%.
But why?
I don't know. There must be some psychology behind it.
Have you got 20 good spatula jokes in your pocket?
I've got zero. I don't really know what it does.
Did you? I love the fact that you've just never bothered to find out as well.
I'm just like, no.
Or did your dad, for example, think of you going into improv?
My dad wanted me to play cricket.
Okay. Did he play cricket professionally? Was that his semi-pro job? And that's what he wanted for you. He wanted.
Until he saw me play. Oh. And he was like, never mind.
Let's just leave it.
Don't worry. What? Tell me more about that acting thing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So you leave drama school and start auditioning for TV. How quickly do you land your first role?
I left drama school in 2010 and I got my first role in 2011 in Whitechapel.
Ah, Whitechapel, the BBC cop drama.
Yeah.
Were you scared?
I wouldn't say I was scared. I was very excited. But also, no one tells anyone that it's your first day.
Yes.
You're just there and they're like, do you want me to get you some sides? And I'm like, mac and cheese? What? I don't know what anyone's talking about.
Yeah.
And like first positions and stuff like that.
What does that mean, sides?
it's your lines, but on like a smaller A5 paper.
Yeah, I would have completely asked for some like lovely, delicious buttered carrots.
Yeah, I've just had breakfast. I'm all right.
This episode of Whitechapel was broadcast on your 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
Yeah. My friends came round.
Did you have a little buffet?
I think we got Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut?
I love a Pizza Hut.
What are you calling in on your 21st?
Hawaiian.
Pineapple.
I used to love a Hawaiian from Pizza Hut. Does it still exist? It must do.
It must
but
do.
Remember you used to get those things through the door with all the offers? Where have they gone?
I think that you've just got to accept now that the pizza's £20 and that's
yeah.
it. It's like 20 quid. Yeah. That's it. What do you want? It's a big meat feast. That's 27 quid. That's it. 21st birthday. You've got the pizzas. Mm. People are coming round. They're going to watch you on Whitechapel. Is this the beginning of you being a massive deal in the acting world?
Well, this is what I thought. Yeah. And then I didn't work again for 14 months. I was in a call center for 4.5 years. It was a call center and it was advertised to actors to be like, it's flexible. You're also just reading off a script. We give you time to go and do your auditions if you want to do that.
What are you selling?
Magazines.
What kind of magazine?
Gardening, computers, finance magazines.
Hang on, is this 4 years?
4.5 years, yeah.
You are, without a shadow of a doubt, the guest that's been on here with the actual longest employment record.
Really?
Like, you are the person who's actually been to a job for the longest amount of time. I'm not kidding you. David Baddiel has never had a job.
Never?
Never. And most people that come in here, I would honestly, 99% of people, you can go through every episode, go, and then I had to get a job. And I temped for 3 months. 3 months. Whereas you have properly done. Okay, if you don't mind, can I have a couple of lines of the script? Hang on, you could cold calling me. Right, so like I'm literally, this is all very Carry On film. I've just got out of the shower to answer this call, so I'm already angry, right? Hello?
Hi, good afternoon. It's Kyle calling from Witch Magazine. Have you got a moment to speak about Witch subscriptions?
Sorry, I can't hear the shower's on.
Oh, right.
I don't have a subscription with Witch. I think it's a wrong number.
No, I think you contacted us earlier and we're just getting back to you, letting you know that we do have some magazines available if you're interested in taking up some more reading about maybe your computer, perhaps.
Did you just go straight in gaslighting me that we had actually made an arrangement to speak?
It's that sort of thing. I'm on £5 an hour.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to make that commission. I've got to get 20 sales a day to make £70.
Yes, I will have the magazine.
Imagine telling them that.
You sound like a lovely man.
And they, when you call them, you've got to, like, it's objection handling means that you've got to get 3 no's before you can hang up the call.
Hang on. This is insider knowledge. When you cold call, you have to have 3 no's before you can...
Before you can hang up, or it's like an unsuccessful call.
So if I just shouted no, no, no... really quickly there, as if I was being basically assaulted, that would have got
then,
rid
yeah,
of you.
You got rid of it, yeah.
When you're working in an office like that, do you become a dab hand at the meal deal?
Well, what I was doing, I was going to Asda, because it was in Cross Harbour, so I'd go to Asda, and what I really enjoyed, this wasn't the one that I treat myself, because if I was treating myself, I'd go and get a carbonara from the Munch Bunch. But what I really enjoyed was the rotisserie chicken from the hot counter and Dairylea Dunkers.
Whoa, hang on. Okay. So you're getting the rotisserie chicken. Are you getting the wings or are you getting the breast?
Depends. Or? No, not the breast. Thigh or wing or drumsticks.
And then you're having it with Dairylea Dunkers?
Dairylea Dunkers. And that was my lunchtime meal. That would cost me about £2.20 maybe.
See, I was going to ask who had the most offensive dinner when you were working there, but it was you, wasn't it?
Absolutely not.
It was you.
There was some shocking stuff going on in that place.
I would challenge you to find one person, even if somebody was literally heating up a tin of tuna. It is not as bad as the vision across the desk of you with a chicken thigh and a dairy dunk. Every day.
I was on £5 an hour.
This is true.
I would buy high juice from the Tesco Express, and that would have to last me like a month. That was my drink. that or water, or we had like a 10p coffee machine.
Joking aside, you have been in this environment for so long.
Mm.
You're clearly, the proof has shown, a very, very talented person who Britain has taken to their heart. But at this point, you're in a call centre for 4 years. How is that really for you? How is it?
Hell, I just wanted out. And the thing is, because it was all actors, we'd see people leave and go and do these amazing jobs, but then come back. Or we'd see people come in that we used to watch on TV.
Go on, give me one name.
Do you remember the kid from My Family?
Yes.
The young boy.
Yeah.
I remember when he joined and everyone was like, and everyone's sort of like, as much as it's like there is hope because you can go off and do these jobs, but if you're there for as long as I was, you see people come back. One of my friends, Kevin, fantastic actor. I don't think he's acting anymore. I think he's got a vegan restaurant now. But he was a brilliant actor, a really great guy, very good on the phones as well.
Mm.
He went off and did Batman. And he had a scene with Morgan Freeman, Anne Hathaway and Christian Bale. And then was back next to me selling magazines.
There's a point in your career where you really shouldn't be 1 minute with Morgan Freeman and the next minute sitting looking at you eating Dairy Dunkers. Did you ever come at a point where you went, right, that's it, I'm giving up?
No, I got fired.
What'd you do?
Around 2013, 14, I'd sort of clocked what to do. How to, like, cruise by with minimal effort.
Yeah.
So I was really just cheating the system, doing a couple of calls a day, calling my nan quite a lot. And that way, if anyone was monitoring your calls, you pick up, you hear that I was on the phone to an old lady. Right.
That is so sweet.
I just call my nan, like, all the time.
You've redeemed yourself. You've thoroughly redeemed yourself.
But I was not working. My nan, I can't remember how many it was, like, let's say 8 grandchildren. And she had, like, tiny pictures of all of them and one massive picture of me at the top. it was like she was, like, tracing a crime family and I was the head honcho.
You're just some benevolent god.
Yeah.
Looking at them all. I love yeah. it. Your career has flourished since the call centre. Finally, you did get a big break, and apparently it did come about because you went to a party. Did you meet Jamie Demetriou?
I met Jamie, yeah.
Yeah.
And Jamie was aware of a YouTube thing that I'd done called Hood Documentary, which was quite big at the time.
Just to explain to people that are listening, who it now sounds like we're just talking in code.
Yeah.
Jamie Demetriou is the man who came to my house a few seasons ago that had never eaten an egg until he was 22 yeah. or something.
Yeah.
And he's Stathlet's Flats and just a fantastic comedian.
Yeah.
And you met him at a party. He'd done Stath, he originally did before it was a season as a Channel 4, they called it a blap didn't yeah. they? Channel 4 blap.
Which was like a mini pilot. And I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. So we were both aware of each other's work, but I think I was much more of the fan in this scenario. And we spoke for a bit. And then maybe a year or so later, this audition came through for Stath the Series.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. Yeah. And I read the character and it was like the normal guy. And I was like, I've got to get this.
You're in Stathlet's Flats.
Mm.
You bag that role. It is your biggest role. And then you go to Ghosts.
Yeah.
Described as one of the best comedies of the decade. It ran for 34 episodes and 4 years. You play Mike, and the story is that you and your wife inherit this dilapidated stately home, whereupon she has an accident. She falls from a window, which she survives. But from then on, she can see ghosts, of which there are many in the house, none of which your character, Mike, can see. It was a sweet, life-affirming show, and it all ended last Christmas in a big finale. You were on set in this house for years. What was the camaraderie like backstage?
It is the silliest people who are allowed to be as silly as they can be. where they don't have to be parents. You have the material and you're like, this is already great and funny, and how can I be even sillier?
Who's the silliest?
Jim Howick. 100%.
Why?
He's so funny.
Yeah.
And just constantly can make anything, like, it could say he gulps. And he'll make it the funniest thing you've ever seen. It's like magic. So we really look forward to the days when everyone's in.
Yeah.
There's going to be some running joke all day. It's so much fun. And I really miss it. It's like this, it would be around this time. This is like the time of year that we'd be filming.
I think this is what I wanted to ask you. But you do genuinely miss it.
Yeah. Like,
I can see in your eyes there's a genuine sadness that, and not many people are like that about TV shows they've spent so much time on.
Yeah. It was like, you know, it's 5 years coming back to the same place, and it's like school. You know, like when you get to this age, you miss school. Whereas like when you were in school, you're like, oh school again.
I'm so interested about Barbados. Mm-hmm. You've only recently visited your family in Barbados after a 24-year gap.
Mm.
But then you went 5 times in quick succession. And then you got your citizenship.
I got my citizenship, yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, so I took my mum back last December for Christmas.
What do you eat when you go there?
Oh, man. There's this place called Crazy Eddie's. The places where it's happening is like the South and the West. The South, I think, would be the equivalent of like Shoreditch. Mm. And the West is like Mayfair. And in the South, you've got like rows and rows of these shops, stalls, I guess, but they're grilling fish outside. Yeah. Oysters is where the fish market is. So all the fishermen come in on a Friday and they bring in all of this salmon, tuna, prawns, lobster.
And you go with your mum there?
Yeah. We just had the best time. And I like...
Do you think it is the food for you that like has really swung it? I mean, to go and keep going.
The food is a huge part of that. It's also the people. You walk out your house and whoever you see, it's good morning, it's good afternoon.
Yeah.
You can chat to anyone. You can ask anyone for recommendations or directions or whatever. And it's never met with any sort of like, I'm too busy for this or anything like that. Someone will happily take you to the place that you're trying to find. And the sunsets and all of that. It's amazing.
Your next venture that you've got coming up is very, very interesting to me. You are going to be the new presenter of the Great British Sewing Bee.
Mm.
Now, we've talked about your comedy, your rapping, your cooking, but we haven't actually touched yet on your enormous talent for sewing.
That's not where I thought that sentence was ending.
So I'm really glad that you're here because I've got a few things I want to make alterations
really?
Of.
Do you I'm going
to
make that so much worse.
If I gave you an hour,
yeah,
could you attach a button to a shirt?
I could probably attach one. But if you wanted like 4 in a line, there's no chance. Absolutely not.
I mean, I've got to ask you, the Great British Sewing Bee, it is quite a long, it's an arduous sentence to say.
Yeah.
So you really
GBSB. GBSB.
You live with your partner in East London. When you are together watching your latest show, what are you eating? What are you eating together? Do you cook?
I do cook, but I don't like it.
Why not?
It just takes so long. I love eating. I can't be dealing with the cooking. I don't love it. Some people love cooking. And I'm like, let the people who love cooking cook.
There's a lot of bikes going to your house, isn't
there? Oh, loads.
They know you.
Sometimes they meet each other. I've ordered mains and dessert from 2 different places. Yeah, I don't enjoy cooking, but I've got an air fryer and I'll stick it all in there.
How do you feel about air fryers?
I love it.
Are you one of those people? I think there's a point in all of our lives growing up where you go from being a party animal drinking tequila to just sitting in a corner talking about air fryers at a party.
I think you can be both. I think I'm proof that you can be both.
Finally, it all began in that Canningtown chicken shop. Do you ever go back? Please tell me that you've got free junior spesh for life now.
Not anymore. I think we overdid it. We were really rinsing it. And it's no more freebies. But, I mean, people still go there because of the song. When the song first came out, people were doing vlogs. Like, we went to go and get the famous junior special from Southern Fried Chicken in Canningtown. So we were making them money. So every now and then, they'll be like, yeah, you have that. Not anymore.
When was the last time you went back to Canningtown?
Not that long ago. Maybe last year.
Did you walk up to the counter? Did you say, I'm sure you recognise me?
Sorry, you've charged me there, but do you know who I...
Did you get the 50p? Maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to. The platinum experience.
How good did it taste after all that time in a stately home?
It is great. It is great. What is it? What's in there?
I don't think we'll ever know now.
No.
Thank you for coming for eating with me.
Thank you.
This episode of Comfort Eating was produced by Tom Glasser. The executive producer is Lucy Greenwell. The music was written by Axel Cacoutier. Visuals by Sophie Harrow. Mixing and sound design by Solomon King. If you love this podcast, then you'll love my book, Comfort Eating. It's a slice of joy, sprinkled with nostalgia about my family, stories of the making of this podcast, and recipes which will leave you, well, frankly, bewildered. Finally, go on, leave us a review, and you can follow or subscribe so that you never miss an episode.
This is The Guardian.